In recent years, new words have been added to the Macquarie Dictionary, amongst them GFC, BFF, bromance, Fanta pants. And if you don't know what they mean, you're not alone. BFF is actually best friend forever. And Fanta pants is a crude nickname for redheads, it turns out. But what about the word Aussia, A-U-S-I-A? Could that also appear in the dictionary in the not-too-distant future? Hong Kong-based writer and author of the Feng Shui detective books, Nuri Vitacci, he invented the word Aussia, and he joins me now from Hong Kong. Nuri, welcome to the book show again.
Hi, good morning, Ramona. I'm very impressed with your use of the word literarily.
I know.
Early in the morning.
I know. I think I probably made that up this morning. I was pleased with it myself. But what about Aussia? Am I pronouncing it correctly?
I think so. I just made it up, so heaven only knows. But it does have a meaning in that there is something interesting happening between Australian literature and Asian literature. And so I thought we'd need a new term to sum them up together.
And what do you think is happening? What's interesting?
What's interesting is that the Australian novel is starting to recognise that its neighbours are its near neighbours. You know, Australia's always felt that the foreigners we interact with are people who live far away. You know, they think of Europe, they think of the States, but now they're becoming more aware. I feel that the neighbours that they interact with, the foreigners they interact with, are actually people in the very near vicinity, short haul flights away, as opposed to longer ones. So you can see it. You can see there's a new message appearing in many Australian novels, recognising Australia's place as part of the Asia Pacific region, as opposed to a sort of outpost of Europe as it once seemed to be.
Of course, you have an Asian man and an Australian woman as the main characters in your top-selling book.
Yes, that's right. That was a coincidence, I guess. I mean, I just wanted people of two very different cultures working together. And I wrote that many years ago. But it's interesting to see how real life has followed that path with two very different peoples working together more and more, and forming a very nice jigsaw puzzle. They're both very different, but like two jigsaw pieces, because they're opposite, they fit together well.
So, how do you think this literary hub might operate?
Well, it's intriguing, really. I was judge of a literary prize last year that featured books from the Asia Pacific region, and it was very clear. Then it was really obvious that the high-grade literary talent Australia had way more than its share in the region, and yet the consumers, the readers, were all in Asia. So Australia's got a small market, but very, very high-grade literature, and Asia has a huge market of readers, but very little talent in producing world-class literature in English.
Why do you think that is? I mean, you don't really think that Asian readers should just be, reading Australian writers. I mean, there should be a bit of a two-way traffic, surely.
Yes, but at the moment they've got nothing in their bookshops except, blasted John Grisham translations and Harry Potter. Harry Potter in Chinese becomes Harley Potter. So we have the Harley Potter books in every bookshop here. And, I'd actually much rather people in Asia read Australian books, because Australian books at least have started to acknowledge that Asia is not just part of the world, but Asia is 62% of the world. So, that's a big chunk of the world, and Australia's realised this, whereas I think the West has not realised this. So Australians are way ahead in this important thing. They're seeing the world as it really is. The world's biggest book market for English language books already is India, and China can't be that far behind. So let's see the world as it is, as opposed to the American view, where Well, there's nothing really in the American view except America, really, is there?
Well, Australia is, for us, our home, but you refer to it as a bridge. Why is it a bridge?
Yeah, it's a bridge because it's got two things, really. It joins two things. It joins Asia to the... it joins the Asian market to the Western high standards, the Western standards of story construction and character construction and that sort of thing. You know, I mean, Asian writers, there are some excellent Asian writers on the planet, but the Asian literary community is still finding its feet. It's very young. You know, there's one or two literary journals in Asia. There's more than 200 in Europe, more than 200 in North America, and there's scores in Australia, but there's only like one or two in the whole of Asia, which goes to show that the Asian literary community is just waking up. They're going to get fed up of reading novels about, Midwestern American lawyers who go on the run with their juries. You know, as John Grisham provides so often, they're very good books, but Asian consumers are going to get fed up and they're going to want something set in Asia Pacific. And Australian novelists have recognised this, and there are some excellent books now with themes of Asia and Australia interacting. So that's fantastic.
Like what?
There's been quite a few recent ones. There was Jane Messner wrote one called Provenance, which was lovely, about a Sikh meeting an Australian girl. There was just a couple of award-winning ones. The Lost Dog, Michelle Kretzer, is another example. That's got Australian characters, Indian characters, characters of a Chinese background, all as main characters, not as token characters. What else is there? Well, there's that lovely one by Janet Turner Hospital, which was Orpheus. What was it called? Orpheus. Well, it's gone now.
No, I read it too. Now I've forgotten it.
That's right. I don't want to read so many books. But it was a wonderful, wonderful book. And it had... it spanned the world from America, CIA headquarters, to Melbourne, you know, and it's recognised in the world as a big place which includes the east and south parts of the planet,
which most
books don't.
What's happening in Asian universities for writers? Are there emerging courses?
Yeah, and when you say emerging, just emerging, Hong Kong University is just launching a Master of Fine Arts, and there are a couple of others just coming up. So City University is launching one in Hong Kong. But in most of Asia still, we don't have literary courses training writers. So that's something that we're just starting to see now.
So are you really talking about marketing books or really generating books?
Well, I think all of the above, really. I think many of the literary festivals, many of the teachers in literary courses in Asia are actually from Australia. So Australia's got a nice little job here as a leadership provider. You guys are setting the standards, and we're no longer looking to UK as the sort of home of literature, but looking to Australia as a place that's providing... at one stage, we did a survey, and every literary festival organiser in the whole of Asia at one stage, this was about 2 years ago, was an Australian female.
I just wonder whether that's going to skew the way you tell your own stories.
Yeah, no, I mean, Asians do have a different flavour of story, and that's going to be really interesting. For example, you know, typical Asian legends have sad endings. We have episodic stories. The whole story shape is different in Asia, and that's going to be incredibly creative, because Australian story shapes, you have a standard narrative novel shape that has its roots in Western literature, but we have different story shapes. We have what we call a bracelet structure, where different episodes are strung together, and they don't have climaxes in the same way as Australian stories. So when these two completely different flavours blend together, we're going to get an interesting new flavour, I think.
And so there's a taste for the happy endings, is there, in Asia?
Yeah, well, a taste for unhappy endings.
Yeah, but I mean, because they've got unhappy endings, they obviously, you're saying that they quite like the happy ending.
Right. Yes, you're right. I have seen more and more happier endings, because you know, with not just Australian novels, but Hollywood, of course, loves happy endings. So that taste is growing up here. But still, you know, you watch, you go to one of these film festivals in Australia and watch the Asian movies, and most of them have very sad endings.
Well, okay, a new creative hub could see Australia and Asia dominate the literary scene in years to come. According to you, Nuri Vitacci, thank you so much for being on the Book Show again.
Thank you, Ramona.
And Nuri Vitacci, Hong Kong-based author and inventor of the term Aussia, A-U-S-I-A. Ramona Koval here, and you're on the Book Show on ABC Radio National.